नारायणं नमस्कृत्य रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 4 वी ऑल्सो रीड टेक्स्ट 3 फर्स्ट विल रीड टेक्स्ट 3 देन विल चैंट टेक्स्ट 4 यो अविज्ञातारितस्तस्य पुरुषस्य सखेश्वरः यन्न विज्ञायते पुंबीर नाम भीर्वा क्रिया गुणै. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद. द पर्सन आई हैव डिस्क्राइब्ड एज अननोन इज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, द मास्टर एंड इटर्नल फ्रेंड ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी. सिंस द लिविंग एंटिटीज कैनॉट रियलाइज द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड बाय मटीरियल नेम्स एक्टिविटीज और क्वालिटीज, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. Purport. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unknown to the conditioned soul, he is sometimes described in Vedic literature as Nirakar, Avigyat or Avang Manasagochara. Actually, it is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by material senses as far as his name, form, quality, pastimes or paraphernalia are concerned. However, when one is spiritually advanced, one can understand the name, form, qualities, pastimes and paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mam avijanati yavan yashchasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Bhagavad Gita 18.55. One can understand in truth the Supreme Personality of Godhead only when one is engaged in devotional service. Ordinary persons engaged in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name and activities of the Lord. The devotee, however, can know the personality of Godhead in many respects. He can understand that Krishna is a supreme Godhead. He can understand that Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead, that his address is Golok Vrindavan and that his activities are all spiritual. Because the Lord's form and activities cannot be understood by materialistic people, he is described by the Shastras as Nirakar, that is, one whose form cannot be ascertained by a materialistic person. This does not mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no form. It means that it is not understood by the karmis or fruitive actors. His form is described in Brahma Samhita as Satchidananda Vigraha, as confirmed by Padma Puran, Adasri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jivvado Swayameva Svaratyadaha. No one can understand Krishna as he is by utilizing the blunt material senses. However, the Lord reveals Himself to His devotees, being pleased with them because of the transcendental loving service rendered unto Him. Since the name, form, qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna cannot be understood by the material senses, He is also called Adokshaja, meaning beyond sense perception. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. In this verse, the words Pumbir, Namabir, Va, Kriya, Gunai are especially significant because God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has many names, activities and qualities, although none of them are material. Despite the fact that all these names, activities and pastimes are mentioned in the Shastras and understood by the devotees, the karmis, fruitive laborers cannot understand them, nor can the jnanis, mental speculators understand them. Although there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu, the karmis and jnanis intermingle the names of the Supreme Godhead with the names of demigods and human beings. Because they cannot understand the actual name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they take for granted that any name can be accepted. They believe that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, they can call Him by any name. Otherwise, they maintain He has no name. This is not a fact. Here it is clearly stated, Namabhir va kriya gunai. The Lord has specific names such as Ram, Krishna, Govinda, Narayan, Vishnu and Adokshaj. There are indeed many names, but the conditioned soul cannot understand them. Text 4. Yada jigrikshan purusha karsnyena prakriter gunan
Navadvaram Dvihastangri Tatramanu Tasadviti.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: when the living entity wants to enjoy the modes of material nature in their totality, he prefers, out of many bodily forms, to accept that body which has 9 gates, 2 hands and 2 legs. Thus he prefers to become a human being or a demigod. Purport: this is a very nice explanation of how the spiritual being, the part and parcel of Krishna, God, accepts a material body by virtue of his own desires. Accepting 2 hands, 2 legs and so on, the living entity fully enjoys the modes of material nature. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ichha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O son of Bharata Arjun, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Gita 7.27. Originally the living entity is a spiritual being, but when he actually desires to enjoy this material world, he comes down. From this verse, we can understand that the living entity first accepts a body that is human in form, but gradually, due to his degraded activities, he falls into lower forms of life, into the animal, plant and aquatic forms. By the gradual process of evolution, the living entity again attains the body of a human being and is given another chance to get out of the process of transmigration. If he again misses his chance in the human form of life, to understand his position, he is again placed in the cycle of birth and death in various types of bodies. The desire of the living entity to come into the material world is not very difficult to understand. Although one may be born in a family of Aryans, where there are restrictions against meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, still, one may want to enjoy these forbidden things. There is always someone who wants to go to a prostitute for illicit sex, or to a hotel to eat meat and drink wine. There is always someone who wants to gamble at nightclubs or enjoy so-called sports. All these propensities are already within the hearts of the living entities. But some living entities stop to enjoy these abominable activities and consequently fall down to a degraded platform. The more one desires a degraded life within his heart, the more he falls down to occupy different forms of abominable existence. This is the process of transmigration and evolution. A particular type of animal may have a strong tendency to enjoy one kind of sense enjoyment, but in the human form, one can enjoy all the senses. The human form has a facility to utilize all the senses for gratification. Unless one is properly trained, he becomes a victim of the modes of material nature, as confirmed by Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the 3 modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Gita 3.27. As soon as one desires to enjoy his senses, he puts himself under the control of material energy and automatically or mechanically is placed into the cycle of birth and death in various life forms.
Vandeham Shri.
Jigrikshan, yada jigrikshan purusha karsnyena prakritir gunan navadvaram dvihastangri tatra manunta sadhiti. Narad Muni has finished his storytelling to King Prachina Parishat, and he thought that what the target was would actually have been hit. But then King Prachina Parishat in the beginning of this chapter says, Bhagavamste vacho asmabhir na samyag avagamyate. He says, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story. Kavayas, those who are very expert, they can understand.
But for me, who am overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult. I think it's a nice story. I never heard it before. It's very interesting. But what does it mean? So, Narad Muni again has to explain everything. In fact, this thing happens in Bhagavatam at least two known occasions. There is a Hamsa Guhya prayer which comes in the sixth canto, I think, where Daksha Prajapati is being taught a prayer, and again that has to be explained. Jada Bharat teaches Maharaj Rahugana many things, and again he has to give an explanation of what he actually meant. So this brings us to the question of realization. What actually do we mean by realization? We say science of self-realization. And the expertise of a preacher depends upon his realization. Can anyone give a good preaching allegory? Can anyone make a good story? It's not so easy. It's not so straight-jacketed as a formula. In fact, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have Suta Goswami being congratulated by the sages of Naimisharanya, requesting him, please speak Srimad Bhagavatam, we want to hear from you. And in that particular chapter, Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation of what realization is, what it is not. We'll begin with what it is not. Prabhupada says, if you speak something out of vanity, vanity is false pretense, show off. Whatever you speak out of vanity, to show your learning, to show how great you are, how many stories you may know, or to explain your so-called pedigree, your degrees, and the most important defect, to trespass the previous acharyas. So anything you say, that is not realization. Prabhupada cautions, no obscure meaning should be screwed out of the shastras. There's a very popular Ramayana speaker, and we had our stall there, book stall. So typically pious Gujarati, Marwadi, Maharashtrian crowd. And this person, who claims to be an authority on Ramayana, started saying that Sita, her name is Vaidehi. Vai means without. Deha means body. So she has no body. She has no material existence. Vaidehi, without any body. So it's a nice play on words, but then what's the intended purpose behind it? Why do you want to make all these realizations? Most probably it is to impress people. And as Prabhupada said, if you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from someone who is using the money which comes from that to maintain his body or to engage in sex life, that hearing and that speaking has no value. So what is realization then? Prabhupada says the first condition for giving a realization is full confidence in the previous acharyas. There has to be full confidence in what the previous acharyas have given. Secondly, it is not just enough that you are confident. It has to be presented nicely also. Prabhupada uses the word nicely so many ways. He may say nice prasad, a nice temple, nice management. In fact, to some devotees, Prabhupada advised, just do it nicely. So you may not know what exactly nice may mean. But here, presenting nicely means, it may mean to not upset the audience. There is an art of doing that. Prabhupada says there is an art of telling the truth, but not upsetting someone. In a sense, you may not call somebody a thief, but you may say that this looks like some stolen property. Now, you're not calling him a thief, but you say, is this yours? Or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say, instead of calling something a cow, you may say that animal which gives milk, which has a tail. So, there are various ways in which this presenting could be done. And here we are finding one expert Bhagavat. There is a book Bhagavat and there is a person Bhagavat. And the third important characteristic of a good realization is that the original purpose is maintained. It's not that you give a nice realized story or you impress the audience and then they are confused as to what was it for. It's a nice story, but what was it for? Our Sarvabhaum Prabhu in Vrindavan tells the story of a Ramayana speaker who goes to a simple village, and after 6 days of Ram Katha, on the last day, one old man asks a question. He says, before you begin today, I would like to clarify a few things. He says, today, you said today is the last day. You said there is someone called Ram, and then there is his other opposite party called Ravan. Tell me, who is the demon between them? So he says, I am the demon, because I am sitting here in front of you for the last 6 days, and I am not able to convince you that Ram is God and Ravan is Asura. So, we may get audience like that. Prabhupada once told a devotee that if you preach and somebody walks away, then you are a 10th class preacher. The devotee may say, but I spoke the truth. So, this is how we find it is not just a question of glib speaking or sweet talking. At the same time, it is not just a question of telling the truth. It's a bit mysterious. There is an example given of how truth can land you in trouble. There is a death in a family. Someone dies. And the neighbor, the father says to his sons, who are not quite intelligent, that one of you go and tell them that we are very sorry to hear that. Convey our condolences. Now these two brothers are nitwits. They are not very intelligent. So they decide whom to go, and the younger is sent there. And he goes there and does a mess of it. He tells something nonsense. The people are very angry. And then the father comes to know that the younger son has gone there and has actually created a big mess, created a big problem. So he comes there and he says, I'm sorry that my younger son came and he talks something irrelevant. Next time something happens, I'll send my elder son. So do tell us when the next time it is due. They become even more angry. So he says, what is the problem? I'm just caring. I just want to make things very straight. So, similarly, while preaching, we may tell something flat on somebody's face and they may become very angry. Like at least in India, Mayavadis don't like to be called Mayavadis. If you say this, you are an impersonalist. You say, what do you mean I am impersonalist? I am a Vedantist. So, this kind of name calling goes on, back and forth, back and forth. Here we find such a consummate preacher, an expert preacher like Narad Muni. First of all, it is not mentioned here, but we can understand that his preaching methods are so variegated. To Dhruva Maharaj, who is also a Kshatriya, but Kshatriyas are having different characteristics. Shaurya Teja Dhritir Daksham Yuddecha Apapalayanam. Shaurya, valor, courage, teja, that brilliance or that forceful nature, dhriti, to sustain, daksham, expert, and not to fight, not to flee from any fighting, not to run away from the battlefield. So for Dhruva Maharaj, it felt like he was going away from the main field. He wanted to fight with his brother for that honor of sitting on his father's lap. And that's why he wanted a position. So Narad Muni expertly, first of all, tried to bring out the real cause of his problem by playing down upon his tragedy. He said, this is nothing. Your brother is telling you not to sit on this lap, and your stepmother is telling you something. Come on, this is like a small issue. You will forget it. Go and play with your friends. And then when Dhruva Maharaj shows his readiness, he says, nothing doing. This is not a simple thing as you think. I am not going back. If you want to help me with my purpose, please help me. Otherwise, you are going this way, I am going this way. And then there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam where Narad Muni is saying, my God, look at this. Look at the nature of the Kshatriyas. As a transcendental Vaishnava, who can know Shudra mentality, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahmana, very objectively, Narad Muni is like amused. But then he says, okay, I'll help him in this way. And he tells him the path of austerity, which Dhruva Maharaj does. To Mrigari, who is a aboriginal, jungly fellow, no Shastra, no allegories, no explanations, nothing except direct experience. He knew nothing less than that will work. So what is the direct experience? He's telling him, you are the one who is injuring these animals here. Now, many times mistakes may happen. We may break something and somebody says, you did it. I came here and my hand touched this vase and it fell down. Not my mistake. We try to cover it up. But here Narad Muni is seeing a rabbit which has its two legs broken, a deer which has an arrow through its ear, some bird which has its one wing cut off. And he's saying, who did this? And he's saying, yes, it's me. As if, you know, he's saying, who did this painting? He says, Haridas Prabhu. Oh, really? Very nice. So Mrigari was taking that kind of pride. And he says, actually, we are a whole generation of hunters. This art was taught to be my father, who also was an expert hunter like that. So Narad Muni has to think, and what kind of preaching you have to do with this kind of fellow? So he said, do you realize that if you kill them fully, it would be less painful for them? So he said, no, I don't think so. So that is the time he just says, no preaching, that is no words, no shastra. He gives him a glimpse, a sort of a movie trailer of what's going to happen to him when all these animals are going to come back for revenge. So that time Mrigari sees himself helpless, can't do anything, and all these animals with their fangs and claws and teeth and everything coming on him. And then he realizes this may actually happen. And he says, no, I don't want that to happen to me. He says, then you have to change your ways. And of course Narad Muni, by his very presence, by his talk, by his total experience of coming in so close quarters with a spiritual master, Mrigari is actually impressed. And then he asks him, what should I do? He says, break your bow. That's the only regulative principle for you. Break your bow. Now break bow? This is the means of livelihood. Without it, he can't eat even food. So he says, if I just obey what you are saying, how will I eat? How will I maintain my family? I have a wife. He says, don't worry. Sit in a place, chant this mantra, I will send everything. And after some months, when Narad Muni is traveling with Angida Muni, and he wants to see, he said, let me go here and see, there is a person I preached some months ago, let me see how he is doing. So as these two exalted personalities are, they descend, Narad Muni sees his disciple coming running and suddenly he stops. So then Angida Muni asks him that, was it Angida or Parvat Muni? Parvat Muni, sorry. So Parvat Muni asks him, why did he stop? So he said, let us ask him. And Narad Muni has already told him about the various things which happened, how he preached to him. And then he explained, you came to see your guru. Now before Guru Maharaj, you have to offer full pranam, dandavat, sashtang dandavat. And why are you stopping? He said, well, there is a line of ants which was just about to cross. And I thought if I just throw myself in the dust, I may get the full benefit of a dandavat. But then all these may be dead, you know. And Parvat Muni is aghast. He said, some days ago, this fellow was getting not just like a work experience, but absolute delight in half killing people, animals. And now he's not willing to even kill ants. He said, this is the glory of a moment's association with the pure devotee. Of course, Narad Muni's disciples are many. Only a few of them are mentioned here. And we find that in each and every case, the original purpose is to make them devotees. With Prachina Parishad, he is not angry at anything. He is not gunning for some position. He is not wanting anything. In fact, he is happy with himself, and that is his problem. He is showing Narad Muni and all the preachers who come to him. He said, look at this kundas. They are filled with blood of all the animals whom I had killed in sacrifice. So I want to go down in history as the king who performed the perfect sacrifices. In fact, one sacrificial homa would finish and other would start. So many follow the rules. If you ask someone like that, why are you doing this thing? He said, it is mentioned in Shastra. Do this kind of sacrifice, do this kind of puja. In the previous purport, we read how Prabhupada is condemning even those who are not exactly understanding why they should be doing something. Ordinary persons engage in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name and activities of the Lord. If somebody is impious, it can be taken for granted that he doesn't understand. What about somebody who is pious? Some months ago I had heard this analogy of a person driving a car. I think it was Rasraj Prabhu who had given this explanation. He said, if you have a car and you fill the petrol, you get yourself a license and you start driving, you go from Virar to Churchgate, Churchgate to Virar and back and forth, and somebody asks you, why are you doing this? He said, but I have not broken any signal, did I? Have I broken any speed limits? Did I kill anybody? So you haven't broken any signals, you haven't broken any rules, you haven't killed anybody. But why are you driving in this city? He says, no, I have a car and there is a road, so I am supposed to drive, isn't it? So this is the case of someone not knowing the purpose of the car, purpose of the road, where do I want to go? Karmis or sense enjoyers are those who have their car and they say, I have to go there. Whether there is a signal, whether somebody is in the middle, I don't care. So in the course of sense enjoyment, you break a few signals, you may kill somebody. Like we hear the story of film stars getting drunk in their night parties and in their fast cars, they drive down in the town and then they go on the footpath and kill few people. So this is the example of misusing your facilities. You are seriously implicated in that. Even mundane laws can catch you. What to speak of the supreme laws? So there are people who are not engaging in impious activities, but they don't know what is the purpose of doing a pious activity. Like one devotee was arguing, one person was arguing with the devotee, that why do you insist on becoming a devotee of Krishna? If you are a good person, you must have heard this argument so many times. If you are good, you do good, and you behave very nicely with others, what's the problem? So this devotee asked him, you came to America for a job, isn't it? So what did you put in your CV, in your biodata? Your qualifications, your graduation, your work experience. Did you say that I haven't murdered anybody? I haven't robbed a bank? I haven't thrown a bomb? So you say, what nonsense you are speaking? So he said, that means these kind of things are expected from you. You can't say that, hire me for this job because I haven't murdered anybody yet. You say, what nonsense, you are supposed to be much, much higher than that. So similarly, in a human form of life, if you say, oh, Monday I go to Santoshi Mata and Tuesday I go to Siddhi Vinayak and Wednesday I go somewhere else, I offer some four annas in the box and offer my pranams, I go to some satsangs. No! Why do you do these things? What is the purpose? So, here we find Prabhupada making a very, very heavy statement. I like it so much, I thought I should just repeat the whole thing. Prabhupada saying, without the spiritual hunger to engage everything in the service of Krishna. See what language Prabhupada is using. He says, without the spiritual hunger to engage everything in the service of Krishna, and to dive deeper and deeper into the ocean of love of Krishna, so-called God realization or loose talk about so-called religious life is irrelevant to the actual experience of entering the kingdom of God. Let's repeat again components. Prabhupada is saying there has to be spiritual hunger. And what is this hunger? Prabhupada says, just like a materialistic hungry person, He tries to eat anything and everything. If somebody is hungry, real hungry, he may just eat anything. Like wartime, soldiers are known to eat all kinds of things, whatever crawls, whatever flies, whatever swims. Prabhupada says, similarly, the advanced devotee's hunger is similar. Like somebody is hungry, is looking at whatever you see as food. Similarly, Prabhupada says, an advanced devotee, whatever he sees, his only realization is, can I use this in Krishna's service? Or can I use that in Krishna's service? So that is, and we find when devotees relate to Prabhupada's stories, how Prabhupada would do on his morning walk, would talk something, or in discussing with other people or giving lectures, we could see that his hunger was to engage anything and everything in Krishna's service. It is similar to a materialistic person's hunger to eat anything and everything. So, this hunger has to be there to engage everything in the service of Krishna. First thing, this we find totally absent from in the lives of those who just like to give flowery lectures or to sing about, sing some bhajans. That is not realization. Realization is what we are reading here. The ultimate purpose of telling this story was not, the aim was not to show us later that see how nice I could conjure up a story, isn't it? No, the purpose is to make Prachina Parishad understand, and he's a king, a big king's ego. So you can't give him any sort of story which may not be suitable to him. So therefore, like one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, my style is now, on the road I stop somebody and I say, give me only 120 seconds, 2 minutes. And I tell him something, I already made up all those points. And then I say, okay, you may go now. You may like what I say, you may don't like what I say, whatever it is. So Prabhupada chastises what he is saying. Give him a book. What will your 2 minute speech give to do to any good to him? He says, better he takes my book. And there he, Prabhupada said, if somebody reads one page, one line, one word, and he says, that may catapult him, that may propel him towards reading more and understanding more. So it's not just a question of being very nice to people, and it's not just a question of being very straightforward. Real realization is something else. To just summarize what that realization is, full confidence in the previous acharyas, that you are not doing anything which is different, you are not trying to improve upon what they said or what they did. This is a common theme in the outside world, that you build upon somebody's theory, and somebody says, very nice theory, is it derived from so and so? He says, no, this is my own thing. I have nothing to do with that fellow. Prabhupada was taking a morning walk with his disciple, and then there was a small ditch, nala, in Mayapur. So the disciple could understand that Prabhupada wants to go and cross this. So he jumped first, and then he gave Prabhupada his hand. So Prabhupada put his stick first, caught his hand, put the stick there, crossed, and then his hand he just violently brushed aside. And he was saying, I mean, any problem? What happened? Prabhupada said, Mayavadis are like this. They take help of someone, they cross a difficult point, whether in philosophy or in life, and once they come there, they just brush it aside. So he said, I could understand why so much of Mayavad is filled in his purports, in the sense of, we should never be a Mayavadi. One should try to understand what it is and stamp it out. We should always preach against it. He said, that day I realized, it is not even a gentlemanly behavior to be a Mayavadi. You may be very polished in the sense of the outside world. But he said, you are not even showing some gratitude. And then Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, gave the example of, the guru is high on the ladder. There is a ladder. The guru is high up, and he is calling his disciples, please come. He is encouraging them. And one disciple, as soon as he reaches the same rung of the ladder, so he looks at him and says, now we are both equal. Now why I need you? There is somebody who speaks right in front of us in the hall out opposite our temple. For so many years I saw XYZ, disciple of ABC, renowned Bhagavad Gita preacher. Last 5 years, that disciple of so and so is gone. Why? Because now the current speaker has enough of his own or her own audience who can support him or her. So now they don't need a guru. This is so much in opposition to what we sing daily. Chakshudan dilo jai janme janme prabhu sei. So, confidence in the previous acharyas or showing our gratitude to them is not a one-time affair. It's not one day you give Guru Dakshina or you say, thank you so much for saving me. This is a continuous thing. Because a Vaishnava always feels that whatever he or she does is always by the mercy of the previous acharyas. Never at any point of time that role is obscured. Secondly, the presentation is nice. Of course, as I say, nice is a very hazy word. Prabhupada doesn't make it black and white. But he just says, nicely means the result is the judge. Phalena parichiyate. You go and preach to somebody, he becomes very angry at you. There must be something which you have to improve. Of course, at one point of time, Prabhupada said it is not the devotee's fault that somebody doesn't become a devotee. We are not greedy for the results. But we try to see it as our defect and try to improve ourselves. And the original purpose is maintained. So the original purpose of all kinds of preaching, all kinds of shastric injunctions, all kinds of avatar leelas, in fact the original purpose of this material creation itself is only one: to take everybody back home, back to Godhead. So once that thing comes in our preaching, then the original purpose is maintained. Hare Krishna. So any comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the very nice class, Prabhu. Prabhupada's purport, I was not able to understand. There is a line here which says, all these propensities are already within the hearts of the living entities, but some living entities stop to enjoy these abominable activities and consequently fall down to a degraded platform. In the next line, Prabhupada says, the more one desires a degraded life within his heart, the more he falls down to occupy different forms of abominable existence. So in the first sentence, Prabhupada says that when he stops to enjoy, then he falls down. And the second, he says, if he desires, he falls down. So apparently there is some contradiction. So,
well, this is how I understand it. It's like in today's times, we may see the advertisers. Every day you are bombarded with the same message. The first time you hear something, see something, read something, that's not the time when you actually do it. But if you decide, oh, new shoes, I'm going to buy them. So that is the first stage, that you are stopping to enjoy these activities, first of all in the mind. How nice I may look in these shoes or in this suit, or with this cigarette, or with this drink, or whatever. And then, the more one desires a degraded life, then the more you desire, maybe you have tasted the real thing or the imitation of that, then you actually are doing it again and again and again. And then, the next sentence clarifies, the more he falls down to occupy different forms of abominable existence. That is, now, that human form of life is gone. Now you have to go in the lower forms, where in the same purport Prabhupada is saying that only in the human form all the senses are like fully alert. A dog may not appreciate a sunset. He may only appreciate a bone. A man may appreciate a bone as well as a sunset. It depends on what he wants to become. So, the first stage, as I understand, is just see the sentence before that. All these propensities are already within the hearts of the living entities. Just like sometimes doctors say that all physically fit people are actually carrying the germs of so many known diseases. Two things have to take place. The disease has to be a fully blown case, or your immunity system has to come down. Sometimes your immunity system may be intact, but the disease itself is such a heavy infection that a normal person also falls down in that sense. So, there is a verse in the first canto where Prabhupada says that, Shukadeva Goswami says that, Striya Sona Pana Dyutam, these four things, what we say, four aggregate principles, he says, for these there is no need of any encouragement. These are already there. Just like in one UICT program, is only Swatra Swami Maharaj was explaining that Sat Chit Ananda, these three components of blissful life are represented in the material sphere in the three modes. So we may say, if somebody who has, like let's say we always have this quiz in our mind, like somebody is about to fall down He has no experience of what material life is. So how does he know that he has to enjoy this or he has to enjoy that? It is no question of this or that. There is a spiritual realm which has its enjoyment components, Sat Chit Ananda, that is eternal life, blissful life, full of consciousness life. So the other side of light is darkness. So that side is just not visible. But as soon as somebody comes there, he behaves as if he knows material life for so many, lifetimes. So like we may be in this material world for the eons, but what if some jiva is coming right now, at this time, 9:50, 9:05 AM, some jiva has come to the material world. But you will find him behaving the same way like others. Why? Because in that sense it is not required. Anadi karma phale, in that sense the word anadi is not exactly beginningless, but from a very long time, or it is already there in seed form. You are in the spiritual realm, you behave in this particular way. You are in the material realm, immediately you will ask for illicit sex, meditating, gambling, intoxication. And you may say, why? Nobody trained, nobody told this, nobody talks about these things in the spiritual world. There is no discussion, there are no newspapers. So how come somebody just comes here and starts doing that? So Prabhupada is saying that it is already there. It is just the inverse fraction of something. Some number, 32,534 is a big number. But the inverse fraction is a very small number. It is just one upon this or the same number. So material life is like just one upon the spiritual thing. Completely different thing. But the mechanism, the basic mechanism is already there. So these two things, as I understand, is first is the mental stage where you see things, you desire, you stop. Just like advertisers know, if people are walking and there's something and you just stop for a moment to see that, they got you. Someday, one day or other, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, 6 months, 1 year later, that desire is there and you are going to act upon it. So those who don't stop, in the sense those who allow these things to go, that they don't hit you. Any more explanation going, Prabhu?
Sorry, so from the devotee's point of view, are we saying that a person who engages in this activity as well as one who desires to engage in such activity, both are in a fallen condition from a devotee's point of view?
Yes. In fact, we also should think in that sense that we are not yet fully devotees. Once Ridhan Maharaj wrote a poem, sent it to Prabhupada. The poem read something like this: O Krishna, save your devotee. Prabhupada said, well, we don't exactly think ourselves as devotees. Put it more correctly, O Krishna, save your servant. So a servant is a safe position, where you want to serve Krishna, you can't do it. At the same time, you understand that there are so many conditions in which you have to fight. That thing is there. So Mahaprabhu also, he said, I nanda tanuja patitam king karam. He never said, bhaktam maam. He says, O Krishna, I am your devotee. Never. He says, kinkaram maam patitam me vishame baham paam vidho. Srila Prabhupada ki.